The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
Everyone, get in here!
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Happy New Year, cluckers. The Angry Chicken is back with me, Garrett, with him, Dills, and with her, Jocelyn. Is everyone alive? Did everyone make the jump through space and time to 2018 okay?
We made it.
Oh, that's good. It's good to hear. It's good.
Just barely.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, happy New Year, you two. I think this is the longest stretch of time I have gone without speaking to either of you two in quite a while.
It was a long break. It was weird.
It was like over 2 weeks, it felt like, right?
I mean, yeah.
Missed. Yeah, but we did. I mean, we had the extra shows, thankfully. So we still got, you know, 4 episodes in for the month. So sorry for the people who I had a lot of people come on the stream like, this is just weird. There's no tack again.
Yeah,
like, I know.
Even people being like, are you coming back?
yes, we are. Yeah, when we're here, we're here. I mean, we got holiday stuff and family we like to see in person, even if, you know, much like Thanksgiving, sometimes the conversations around the table can get awkward, but you got to go see your family. You got to see your family on Christmas, and we didn't see them on New Year's. I don't know if you were guys like me, by the time New Year's Eve rolled around, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to leave my house. I didn't want to put on real clothes. So I just parked my butt on the couch. Yep.
We binge watched Black Mirror. that's all we did. And then we're like, yay, it's midnight. Okay, bed.
I can get behind that. We
so lame this year.
We binge watched the season 2 of Harmon Quest. That's what we binge watched.
Don't even know what that is.
Entertaining is the answer to that question.
I did a big stream. We actually had quite a lot of fun. I did this a couple years ago, I think. But basically what it is, I pulled up the Tempo Storm meta snapshot and played through the top deck of each month.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, at first I had to play in Wild, right? Because the beginning of the year, there was still cards like old
hadn't
sets
rotated yet,
couldn't be played anymore. Yeah, so, you know, I was playing like weird control mages and all this kind of stuff. But then once I hit April, I guess, and it started becoming Kobolds and Catacombs E style decks, it was just like a weaker version. It was like, okay, now I'm just in the Knights, but at least there's DKs, right? Or like, oh, I'm in Ungoro, but at least there's still quests. So I did have to do like a quest rogue game with.
I was going to say, yeah, did you have to quest rogue then? Oh.
Yeah. Although, you know what's crazy? Quest rogue kind of works now again with some of the new cards. With Zola the Gorgon and with Sonya.
Yep.
Well, how do you know that if you were playing the top decks from the meta snapshot? I mean, you should have been faithful to it, not added anything new.
I feel like that would probably be super, super hard, right? To stay true to the meta snapshot. You just lost so many games.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Probably.
The trick to doing it, though, because I had a couple of people asking me, they're like, oh, so you're going to play until you win with each deck. And I was like, no. I'm going to play one game with each deck, win or lose. I'm moving on as soon as it's over. Yeah, not going to sit there and try to force old school quest rogue to win a game.
I was about to say, some of those old decks, I'm pretty sure you would still be playing until next New Year's.
I'd never get a win with some of these decks. Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny, though. It really kind of makes you understand how crazy Hearthstone is now, right? Like, you go back and you're just like, man, the power level of this deck. I was looking at decks. I'm like, who put this list together and thought this was good? And this is, you know, number one deck on Tempo Storm's website, right? So, like, there was one I played. One was like an aggro an aggro rogue with a jungle panther in it. I'm like, really? That jungle panther is the best card we could put in this slot? And like nowadays, you're like, yeah, why would I ever pay 3 mana for a 4/2 when I could pay 0 mana for a 5/5? Like, that's just silly. yeah, the game is just in such a crazy place now.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, there was a time, Dills, where you couldn't have 6 Doom Guards over the course of a game.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I think about, you know, if Dr. Boom was a card that was released right now, I don't even think it would go in any decks. No. I don't think it would see play.
Which is so sad.
Yeah, like we used to complain about that card so much. Now I died too slow, man. Turn 7? Like, no, I'm making all my stuff happen on turn 5.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fast right now, man. Decks kind of, they've got some perfect game plans, and if you don't also have a perfect game plan, things get out of hand very, very quickly, as
yeah.
I feel like we will touch on in our strategy section today when we talk about Q-Block, but I don't know.
Some of the broken things you can do now. So yeah. I reached Legend again last season, and woo! I played a lot of Hearthstone. And so it was funny because at first it really felt like I was just treading water, right? And the reason was I was just trying out all these different decks. And then I just was like, you know, I'm just going to play this this priest deck. And it was just like, just waltzed right into Legend, like no problem at all. It was like the easiest thing. I even threw some games on the last day that I was supposed to have won and like still got in pretty easily. From like rank 3 or whatever, it didn't really take very long at all. Then once I got to Legend, I was like, I had this theory about, oh, maybe I could play like Elemental Shaman because they have Hex and Hex kills, you know, 3/9s and doesn't let them come back later with all their death rattles and stuff. And I was like, all these battle cries are pretty good. And then I'm just like, I'm just not doing anything broken and everybody else is.
Yeah,
this is not working. My deck is way too linear.
Oh man, you and I had this chat off stream, man. When I was you busted into the Get Your Crit Together Discord while I was playing PUBG and asked me if I remembered what Hearthstone was. We started talking about just that, and I told you, yeah, man, I have 3 daily quests locked up because of course I do. I've been playing everything but Hearthstone over the Christmas. I've been playing everything but Blizzard games over the Christmas break. And I got in one day and I was like, oh, I got three daily quests. I need to get in here and get some golden packs. And it was like all shaman quests. So I was like, well, I guess I'm playing some shaman. And the first thing I did was I just pulled up my token list. I threw out 2 things. I don't even remember what it was. Threw Hex in and it was working. But it was also the end of the month. And
sure.
I was not
at the end of the month at a lower rank. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I also had the luck of being, I guess, the luck of being dumpster legend rank. So on the last day, I was playing against a lot of other memers, which was cool.
Like, I bet that's
fine. Rank 5,000 legend on the last day. We're not trying to make
pushing
a
for anything.
Big push. Yeah.
See, listeners, rank 25 or just hit legend, it's not that different. It's not that different at all.
Although I was, I don't know if I should really be saying this, but I was able to just be a little friendly with the rank 1 players.
Oh,
just say
I
that
see.
On the last day, which was kind of fun.
weren't doing much gatekeeping.
I didn't play optimally most of those games.
Oh, it's very kind of you, Dills. It's very kind. Santa Dills gives
giving out legend.
Just keeps giving. Right. Just keeps giving. Wow, that's just awesome. Well, quite a few other things have happened in the meantime while we've been gone, so why don't we get into this week's Hearthstone news?
Good news, everyone!
Hey, so we decided to take 2 weeks off, and then Apple decided to update their App Store with an interesting little clause is going to probably
clause.
Oh, I didn't even unintentionally awesome. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Jocelyn, for catching that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
anyway, this new clause should be affecting our favorite little mobile card game any time now, because according to the App Store guidelines, quote, apps offering loot boxes or other mechanisms that provide randomized virtual items for purchase must disclose the odds of receiving each type of item to customers prior to purchase. And if you've got a good memory, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, didn't that happen in China like back in June? And you were right. It did. Actually, before June, that happened in China. And then in June, Blizzard changed Hearthstone in China only to where your in-game purchase is no longer for a card pack. It's for a specific amount of dust, but that amount of dust happens to give you a gift of a certain amount of card packs. So that they didn't need to...
Loopholes everywhere.
Yep, loopholes as far as the eye can see. so, yeah, since they did that, they don't have to disclose the odds. And just is weird, man. Like, we know what the odds are, so why not just disclose them and not have some weird loophole-y adjustment to your store? And, of course, now everyone is sitting here like, well, are we going to be buying dust now?
Yeah, and if that's the case, like in China, when you go through the actual store in the client on your PC, do you buy dust there too? Or can you just directly buy packs? Like, are all of our purchases now going to be these weird dust purchases technically?
I don't know. We're going to have to see.
I don't live in China, so I do not know the answers to these questions.
Nothing has changed currently when you go on to like mobile and stuff and look. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's been updated, but Hearthstone hasn't done anything yet.
Right.
I'm sure there's a grace period. I don't think, the King of Apple comes out with his scroll and like, by edict of King Apple, as of this day, you must declare your odds. It's not that fast of a turnaround, but why do you think they don't just tell us the odds? Because we know what they are, and they have basically told us the odds.
Well, yeah, they've never, so we've kind of figured it out, air quotes, and they've told us that like we're guaranteed to get legendaries in X number of packs and stuff like that, but they've never actually come out and said like each pack has a this percent chance to give you a this card. Percentages to roll upgrades, I guess, would be a better way to look at it, right?
Right. The only thing that has come to us from Blizzard directly are averages. They gave us an average, but they didn't give us actual odds. But, I mean, Joss, you're a Zelda fan. It's a secret to everybody, right? Like, we figured this, as a community, we figured this out a very long time ago.
Right.
And it's been tested many times since and basically proven beyond the shadow of a doubt. So it's not a secret to us. It's not a secret to anyone who just wants to go on Google and type in odds of a Hearthstone pack. It's there for you.
But so I feel like potentially if they had to actually come out and confirm as a result of this, like they're the only Blizzard mobile game Blizzard game that is both mobile and has loot boxes, right? So I feel like if they came out and actually confirmed their numbers for Hearthstone, then they'd have to come out and confirm their numbers for Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm and, you know, anything else that has like a random loot box type mechanic in their games, because, you know, otherwise people would be like, hey, you gave Hearthstone odds, why not? You know, where's our Heroes odds? Where's our Overwatch odds? And then very, very quickly, you're impacting Blizzard's entire business model, because there's probably people that, you know, thinking they have a chance to open a legendary skin in Overwatch are much more likely, just because they know it's a small chance. But if there was something that popped up and said you have like a 0.0001% chance of getting a legendary skin, they'd be like, maybe not. I'm just going to not open this, or I'm not going to buy this, or whatever. So I'm wondering if that's why they're like not actually telling us exact odds, because there's more than just Hearthstone potentially impacted here.
Yeah.
Now they could just say we're forced to do it for Hearthstone, but we're not forced to do it for this. So no, we're not telling you. I don't think they have to. If they did it for Hearthstone.
I mean,
like the communities are separated enough that I don't think it would be a pitchfork type scenario. I do think that this is just a better model anyway, to be honest, for selling packs. Eternal has a really cool thing where every time you open a pack, you just get 100 of their dust. Mm. And it just makes it so that no matter what, if you got the card you wanted or not, you at least know that at the end of opening a bunch of packs, you can create the card you wanted, right? And I think that's one of the biggest problems right now for Hearthstone. There was a post recently on the Reddit, of course, where somebody like was trying to get one specific legendary. They had like most of the cards, and they went and bought $15 worth of packs, and then got about 600 dust. And we're just like, man, like $15? I can't get one card? And
I feel like that is me. Like, sure. I must have like written an article in my sleep or something, because I literally did that to get the skull of the Minari for the warlock thing. And so I went, I'm like, okay, what's the lowest amount of money that I can spend that will give me enough
that
packs?
Probably,
and then,
get me a legendary.
Yeah, that'll probably get me there. And then I didn't get there. And I was like, oh,
it's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah. It feels so bad.
You know, what would be cool is if you could, if you didn't get there, if you could just be like, well, I'll just grind some dungeon runs, because I want to do those anyway. And then,
Don't start with that. Let's not kick off 2018.
I'm sorry, but I played a lot of dungeon runs over the winter break because I was like not at my house, you know? And man, there was many moments of disappointment, because you just breeze through seven bosses and then you get unlucky on the last one and you're like, oh, wah, wah.
Dungeon runs. And then you beat the last boss and you were still like, wah, wah.
Yeah, even when you beat it, I know. You're like, cool, I got to do this seven more times. Awesome.
I can only be the voice of, I still like them, I don't care what you say on this show so many times. I have no unique defenses to bring to the battle.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. I do like them. I just don't like that feeling. I don't like that hollow feeling at the end.
Fair enough, I guess. Sort of. I don't know. I like them infinitely more than like heroic adventure runs still, which I just never did. I don't have any of those card backs. I'm never going to have them. I don't care.
That's true. They have way more replayability than that, for sure. 100%.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
More random. I still don't even have my Arthas because I don't feel like doing that grind. And I love Arthas.
That really does surprise me.
Well, I mean, it's Prince Arthas. It's not like super cool Lich King Arthas. So does it surprise you that much? I mean, he is shiny.
Okay, but Garrett, imagine if they were like, all right, you got to beat Arthas with each class, but first you have to beat all the other bosses before him with each class, too. That's the problem I'm having with Dungeon Runs.
Like,
the first seven bosses are trivial, right? Like, literally, I get to the last boss every time, and then it's just, like, luck of the draw if I get, like, the Darkness, who's nearly unbeatable for all the control decks you get, and then, like, you know, whatever. That's just the frustrating part. I just, like, okay, I've done all these bosses. Can I just do like the last boss with each class?
I'm just going to continue being a brat. That would be annoying if I really wanted Arthas, but I don't, so I don't care. And I don't really want the card pack, so I'm just happy that dungeon runs are kind of fun by themselves. Or card back. Not pack. You know what I mean.
That's the only reason I'm doing it at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Card back.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bad. I would have given... I'm actually... And to be honest, I looked at it. I was like, let me take another look at this card back. Nah, it's not that cool.
Don't like the Melty Candle.
I'm not gonna. I don't think it's that cool either. But I just like doing the dungeon runs. So there's that. I don't know. I understand why they just don't tell us the odds. We know the odds. Just tell them to us. Just tell us the damn odds. Although, feel free to give me dust in addition to my card pack purchases. I am not against that. So. Whatever
the
case,
change that model anyway. That's just way better.
I'd be fine with that.
It would alleviate a lot of the issues people have right now with the expense of the game if there's just a little extra dust with each pack. With, you know, well, you just know you're gonna get X amount if you buy this many packs. Well, now you can plan
like a trivial amount of dust, because that's kind of what I picture is like buy a pack and get a dust, or like you know, buy a pack or buy 15 packs and get 5 dust. Like, I feel like
it's not that low, but I couldn't find it for like the larger and it looks like it is. So the screenshot I'm looking at is for your like your largest purchase in China, which apparently is 78 packs. You get 78 dust.
Yeah, really? So like one dust per one pack.
Well, never mind. That's
like,
just
that doesn't help anything, right? Like,
no, it doesn't do anything.
Yes, and I would like to preface all of this with Garrett did none of this research himself. He's looking at literally one single screenshot that hopefully is correct. But I don't know. I don't play in China.
Yeah, yeah, and you literally, it's not even like you have to actually live there, right? Like, you can't even access their servers somehow because China. So we literally can't verify this guy.
Right. Right, exactly. So...
chat room, you do. So you buy the dust. So you purchase like 78 dust for whatever the purchase price is, and your bonus, air quotes, your gift is 78 packs. So that's how we assume it's going to work when Blizzard actually rolls the stuff out in NA, EU, anywhere that Apple products are sold.
Yeah, it's dumb. It should just tell us the odds. So anyways, Dill set me up for a good segue, and we have already moved far past it. But speaking of alleviating issues, we still got that Daily Quest issue hanging around. And right before, again, the holidays, community manager Jesse Hill posted to inform us of a bunch of ways that you can try and fix the issue. To tell us that they are going to fix it, although with weird terminology, where Jesse said we're currently working on a short-term solution. I can't talk, and then also we're planning on implementing a better long-term solution. I'm like, why do you need two solutions to this problem? I don't understand like how it's so difficult. It clearly is, but maybe a little more info would have been interesting. But really, to me, the important thing is we're getting three free Kobolds and Catacombs packs early this month. So just keep an eye out for that. It's going to be gifted through the Battle.net like gift service. So I think you're still going to have to log into your account through a web browser to access them. It's not just going to pop up in your game. But just keep an eye out for that.
Which I wonder how that's actually going to impact mobile users, because do you have to log into the Battle.net social app on your phone, or
no? They said you can just do it through any browser of your choice.
I see.
Yeah, so if you're on a
you can just go to Battle.net.
Right.
Yeah, if you're on a mobile device, you just use your mobile browser. I have three on my phone. I don't know why, but I do.
Right.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I've been slowly trying to switch over to Firefox because I like the new Firefox, but I'm so used to Chrome. So very, very used to Chrome. And then the phone has its own damn thing. So, you know. No one cared. Nobody cared about anything that just came out of my mouth.
Do we feel like three packs, is that a decent response here from what has now been affecting some people for... I don't know, a month, right?
Yeah, someone's always going to say
for some people.
Somebody's answer is always going to be no.
Yeah.
So, like, do I personally care? I don't really care. I don't like feverishly go after my daily quests anyway. They tend to just kind of happen. But you know, I'm not going to speak for anyone who plays on a much stricter budget than I do, who has kind of missed out on their progression as a result of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the issue, is the free-to-play players, right?
They do still get their quests, right? They just don't, pop up like normal. Because they're saying anytime your quest log refreshes, which is basically what all
some people are complaining that they're not getting them at all.
Oh, they're still not getting
any new quests. Yeah, like they log in day after day after day, and there's just no new quests. And they're still sitting at zero quests. Like, that's, I think the bug is affecting different people in different ways.
Yeah.
And all these ideas of how to do it are all just like, if the quest isn't popping up, you can try doing this or that or the other thing. And some people, you know, we had people posting in our Reddit as well, that none of these things were actually working for them. So they would try to do all of these steps, and you know, it's like, basically you're just trying to refresh the quest log. You're trying to jar the system a little bit by doing some other action. And for some people that wasn't working, and that really sucks. For those people, for sure. It's one of those bizarre things where it's not affecting everybody. So the outcry is like...
I was going to say, I haven't seen this.
It hasn't happened to me at all.
Yeah.
But like, that doesn't mean that the people that it's happening to, it's like, that's fine. Like, it doesn't happen to everybody, the outcry just seems like a couple of crazy people. You know, you're like, dude, my quests are working just fine. So I don't know. It's like, I feel like maybe they should proportionately go back in and reward stuff, not just here's three free packs across the board to everybody. Like, maybe they... like, look for the people who've had a big problem. And you know,
three packs to me is like nothing. I'm like, oh cool, three free packs, nice. But for somebody who hasn't had any quests for a month, then that is a free-to-play player, especially
free packs.
Well, yeah, for literally nothing. So
I mean, you guys remember Gadget Zand when they refunded us based on how much crap we opened?
Yep.
Like, I'm just, we don't know if this is a thing they can even track. One would hope that they could, but maybe it's
that's what I'm feeling like. It's probably just something that they either don't want to put the resources into tracking. Like they don't want, it would be something that I'm sure they could find out if they put somebody on that job of, hey, go find out all the people who haven't had quests for
Playing but haven't completed quests for a month or something.
Yeah.
But even
I'm sure somebody decided when allocating engineering resources that wasn't really worth it. And so it's better to probably just get three packs out.
That's my favorite loading message when I play The Sims, by the way. Allocating engineering resources.
Yeah. Looking for opponent, allocating engineering resources.
Reticulating splines. Yeah, so it's crappy for sure. And I want a really nerdy post detailing what the heck the issue is. Not because I feel like we deserve it. I'm just really interested now why daily quests are so hard to fix.
And what broke them in the first place? Like, why were they messing around?
I mean,
they added too many or something? Or
no, this is just coding stuff. You do one thing and something breaks somewhere else, and you don't know why sometimes. And it's, you know, it's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. And I mean, pouring over code, looking for this stuff. Some people really like doing it. Nerds. And a lot of people just the world of code. When I was working at a startup in San Francisco, I was not doing all that. But man, the times when I had to go into the code base to do something because the engineer was like, you can fix this. I was just like, oh God. What is this crazy world that I've entered? So, yeah, I don't know. Stuff is just, it gets complex for seemingly no reason sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, this has been happening for years, and every game you've ever played, probably. My brain went, oh, World of Warcraft reference, and I'm thinking, no, every game I've ever played has had bugs that seem to have connection to an update that just happened. Right, exactly. So it's just, it goes with the territory. This one just... is being felt by many more players and is negatively impacting a decent portion of the player base. So
yeah. So Diego Cedric in chat says, I thought I stopped seeing complaints right before Christmas. What happened was Reddit just made a mega thread and was not accepting any more of these individual threads that people kept posting, because it was getting to the point where it's like, yeah, one random guy keeps posting, and then another guy posts and another guy posts. And it's like, okay, we all get it. They put it all in one, and then once that wasn't sticky anymore, then yeah, it just looked like it was a problem that had been solved. But no, some people were still having the issue.
Yeah.
So I mean, the one thing I will say is that in my experience, and I know everyone's experience isn't the same, but Blizzard customer service in general across their games is really awesome. So if you are still having this issue with not getting your Hearthstone quest, just submit a ticket, keep bugging them. And you never know, if you are actually impacted by this for a significant amount of time, if you can't update your quest log, then, I mean, maybe they can fix something on the back end. Maybe it's something they have to go in and do it individually and manually push a quest log refresh. Who knows? But at least you're giving them a record of the fact that you're still having the issue. And you never know what's going to come out of that in the end in terms of potential maybe compensation. Who knows? Everyone's getting these three packs publicly, but who knows what they'll be able to do for you privately. So if you are having the issue, talk to customer service. Don't post on Reddit. Submit a proper Blizzard ticket.
Yeah, don't send us an email.
Yeah. Yeah,
we,
go talk send
it to Blizzard. We cannot help you. We got nothing.
We will try, and then we will fail. Actually, we're not going to try. We're not even going to try.
I think we already have by dedicating a decent portion of it to talk about it on the show. And that's all we can do. I will say, I would think this would be a larger, kind of more a louder issue if there weren't so many other horrible, dumb things happening in games at the end of 2017. I feel like this has been a rather calm outrage compared to things I don't know, Battlefront 2. But yes. Maybe if that had not happened, you'd see more headlines about this. I don't know.
Can only rage about so many things.
right. I think by the end of last year, my own personal rage was definitely on E. I was just I have no more rage left to give. I'm done for the year. I'm going to go wear a Santa hat now and eat myself to death. Thank you.
Yes.
Goodbye. So anyways, let's take a break and thank our sponsors for today's episode. Harry's. Harry's is back. They are still sponsoring the Angry Chicken into a brand spanking new year. You can check out their offering of high quality razor blades over at harrys.com/TAC. We're all big fans of Harry's here. Everyone, keep your neck beards in check over the holidays, especially you, Jocelyn.
Oh, especially me. Definitely. Why do you think I look so smooth?
Oh, yeah, man. Can't even tell. Yeah, I definitely used mine, gave away even more Harry's, because, you know, you gotta spread the
great gift.
You gotta spread the smoothly shaved love. One of these days, I'm gonna just take a photo of my dad's head and attach it as an image to one of our Harry's promotions, because my dad's got a smooth head.
You too have a
smooth head. You too could look like a shorter version of Bruce Willis, who also happens to be Garrett's father. Well, yeah. So they're back with their free trial offer. You can claim that today by going to harrys.com/TAC. If this is your first time hearing one of their promotions on this show, it is a $13 value that you get for free when you sign up. The only thing you have to do is cover shipping. In these trial sets, you get a handle, you get a 5-blade cartridge, there's a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. You get lathering shave gel, and you get a travel blade cover. And all of that, again, for free, just cover shipping over at harrys.com/TAC. We thank them for supporting our show. We thank you all for going to that website and keeping those neck beards nice and smooth while also supporting our show in the process. So go check them out. Now, let's talk some Q-Block.
Hit it very hard.
Wanna blow something up? Yum! Time to pay.
All right, we thought we were going to be doing, you know, the old, you know, moldy version of Void Lord BS Warlock, but there is a new non-moldy version of a brand new archetype that came in with Kobolds and Catacombs, and we are calling it Q Block. Not us, we did not coin that phrase, but to us, the community. But yeah, hey, I logged into Hearthstone last couple of days with the intention of going up against a couple of these Warlocks, because I'm missing quite a few cards to actually make this deck. And I didn't
it's not a cheap deck.
Yeah, I didn't go up against any. Didn't see any. So Jocelyn, thank you for kicking my ass this morning in a few
Anytime,
games.
Anytime, Garrett.
Thank you so much. Oh, it was delightful. This deck, when I heard the rumbles of it and heard people talking about it, I'm like, oh, it can't be that bad. And after this morning, I can say this deck is dumb.
Sometimes you just feel like there's nothing you could do to beat it.
As a Warlock player, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have so many win conditions. I don't actually know which one to play right now, because I could literally win this game 5 different ways. Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a good deck.
Yeah.
To me though, I feel like it's a deck that can be teched against pretty well. And I think that's like, I'm not too concerned with this deck because like becoming super crazy. It's like the thing about like the priest deck is you can't really tech necessarily against that deck. You just have to play an archetype that tends to beat it and hope that they just don't draw the cards that they need.
Right.
At the time when they need them, right? But like right now, I mean, the priest deck is way more oppressive than this deck is, because you could throw in, you know, like my version that I don't have the Spirit Singer Umbra, but I do run Spellbreaker. But like in almost every deck now, you're just seeing double Spellbreaker, because that's really the key. It's like, just don't let them do this crazy stuff that they can do, right? So for people who don't understand, like the core of the deck really is just getting out a Void Lord really early, or in some matchups even the Doom Guard is like the best thing that you want, and then just making them a bunch of times, like just continuing to have them come back to life over and over and over again
by using the Carnivorous Cube, right?
Yeah, so Carnivorous Cube is the main way to do it, but obviously like you've got in your version the Spirit Singer Umbra, right? That we've got listed here, and that's when we, like, you can play So I took the Umbra out because I just found that in a lot of cases, I could never, like, this doesn't happen until like turn 9 or something like that, right? Like, you have to like get the Umbra out and then play the Death Rattle minion afterwards.
And if you can play it on
so long.
Yeah, if you can play it on 4 and it sticks to the board, then you're probably in a really good position and have probably won already anyway. So, yeah. You know, like playing it out on 4 and then playing like the possessed lackey on 5, which is the 5-mana 2/2 with the Death Rattle, summon a demon from your deck. If you're getting that combo off over 2 turns anyways, then you're just way ahead and you just win anyway.
Well,
so.
I'll just say this. Yeah, like at least at the high ranks and stuff, that was just never happening.
Yeah.
I wasn't even playing Possessed Lackey on 5 anymore. Like a lot of times, like at first, everyone was just like, turn 5, drop the lackey. I was not even doing that anymore because people were either silencing it or like priests were Potion of Madnessing it and then like killing it on their side of the board and like all sorts of different ways to deal with it. So I'm actually, most of the time now, I'm waiting for turn 6. Dropping Possessed Lackey and instantly Dark Pacting it so I know that I get my value out of it, because if I just give them a turn to respond, oftentimes they did. But yeah, so I ended up going away from the Umbra, and I felt like the Prince Taldoram was a good enough version of like what Umbra was trying to do for me, right? And it was a little easier to combo. So it's weird though, because this deck has gone through so many changes and the list that we're at now is so tight. Like what it does, everything is just doing what the deck does. There's nothing, there's no loose fat, right? There's like nothing.
There isn't even a twisting nether, like
I mean, some people are still running that, but yeah, you just get rid of that. Now you just run the double mountain giants and like don't run the Rin anymore. People were all running the Rin at first, like screw that, we don't have time for that, we just make a bunch of doom guards and kill you.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
It's gotten nuts.
Dill's talking about the Umbra versus the Spellbreaker, because when I was looking at deck list, that was pretty much it was like you have one card of a little tiny bit maybe
room.
Like you call it fat, like you have a one card slot of fat where you can kind of get creative.
Yeah, I mean, there are still people doing things like they run one mountain giant and one twisting nether and stuff like that, but really just feels to me like, nah, you just want to make sure you draw those really important core cards and not have some dead card, like maybe a Twisting Nether might be terrible because you're ahead on board, right? So to me, like the biggest problem I have with the deck is just going up against things like Hunter and just getting run over by the early game. So
yeah, I find anything like Hunter, Paladin, or Zulok, anything that's like totally all over the board, like I might be able to clear it once or twice, but I'm finding even by the time I get to turn 4 with Hellfire, it's like by Hellfire, I'm putting myself to like 8 health. I'm like, well.
Yeah. The good news, though, is if you Hellfire and you have a Spellstone in hand, you like go down a little bit and then you just come way back like right afterwards. But I mean, the thing is like Double Mistress and Defiles usually shores it up enough if you really mulligan hard for those cards. But you were seeing some people run things like Plated Beetle as well in this deck, because just that little bit of armor gain is nice. And if you're running like Nazoth, then you probably do want to run the Plated Beetle. I don't like the Nazoth personally, because what are you really bringing back? Like if you think about it, in this version anyway, you're bringing back potentially Void Lords, sure. But you're also going to be bringing back things like Mistresses and Possessed Lackeys that really don't do anything at that point, right? So
right.
It just feels like, if I just do my, my Gul'dan, that's kind of enough. I don't need to also then Nazoth you at another point later. So
yeah,
I think
yeah,
the deck
I've
has just gotten
found
very,
Gul'dan to be enough.
Like just drilled down to its core. And that's just, everything is that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems strong. I mean, Josh, you were talking about the aggro decks, and yes, you know, in our games today, you did beat me when I was piloting a Murloc Paladin, but it was close, man. Like I had you down to what, like 8 health at one point, but I didn't quite
maybe
get
even
you,
less. Yeah,
I didn't quite get you killed by 6, and that's when you Dark Pacted your damn Possessed Lackey, and things got out of hand relatively quickly.
Yeah, once you stabilize, you are stable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, then there was
ain't
just
nothing
like
getting through.
I think I ended up with like maybe 4 Void Lords, I want to say, in that game because of cubing and facelessing and all that kind of stuff, and I'm just like, fine, you want to have a lot of little dudes? Wall.
Yeah. And then I, the most games I played against you were on my priest, and it, like, I did lose one game on the priest, but it was so close. If I had had one dragon, I just needed one dragon. I bricked so hard in the draws. It would have been easy. I would have cleared your board very early on and not let really giving you the chance to get back on board, but it came down to just not drawing a dragon. And then we tried again, and it was pretty gross. In the opposite direction, the priest was just kind of oppressive.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel in general right now, is that priest is oppressive, but I find that they have so much of a chance to just totally draw dead, and I find I don't draw dead because of the warlock hero power, because I'm pulling things out of my deck, like all that kind of stuff. Like, I rarely just don't have any win conditions and don't have any answers. Like, it's fairly easy as warlock to put together combo pieces. So I find that as long as the priest draws poorly, I'm beating a lot of priests. But, you know, I'm sitting there playing against priests who, like, don't have their Razan, don't have their Anduin. And then I'm like, yes, I win, which is more them than me.
right. And that's not
scrappy.
And that's not what you want to go into a game thinking, like, oh, I can win this if they just lose.
When you put it that way, it sounds even worse.
Right. But I mean, it's worth mentioning that there is a chance, and I think that's, you know, why this deck, you know, will climb if piloted correctly, because you are going to get lucky against enough priests. But Dills, what priests have you been piloting? You've been doing the spiteful,
just the Raza stuff, yeah. Okay. But like right now, like that, again, that deck is also just pared down to its core as well. Even to the point now where you're just running Mass Dispel and stuff like that in the priest deck, because it says draw a card on it, so you put it in.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so it's funny because these are definitely like the two top decks, I think, right now. Q-Block and the Priest.
Yeah.
And the matchup is very interesting because the Priest is like trying to just outlast the Q-Block and then, you know, deal with, like, they don't even care about the 3/9s. I was talking to Justin about this. Like, Jury was like, yeah, I can't beat those damn Q blocks. I keep killing those 3/9s. I'm like, dude, don't kill the 3/9s. Like, just ignore them. You have to just go face. Like, you can't, nothing's going to hit their face anymore. You have to find other ways to kill them. Like, he was playing mage. I was like, yeah, all your fireballs and stuff just should be going face.
I was about to say, I'm like, what was he playing? Cause you can't, it's a taunt minion. But
yeah, it's like, no. If you're putting all your damage into 3/9s that have 1/3s come out afterwards, you're just never going to get there. So you just kind of have to just go, okay, well, they're only dealing 3 damage a turn to me. It's fine. I'll just start shooting them. But like, the priest is kind of trying to do the same thing now. They're just trying to just get to the Shadow Reaper Anduin and then just start mass pinging the face. Right. So it's like, it's kind of an interesting matchup now where like both of them are kind of racing to do these really broken things. And the warlock now has a chance to outpace that because of the weapon, Skull of the Minari, and getting a Doomguard on board and then cubing it, right? So, and just making tons and tons of Doomguards. It's a really interesting and intricate matchup right now. I'm having a lot of fun watching this deck. I know some people really hate it. I see somebody in our chat right now says that it's boring. I find it to be very interesting. There's a lot of really intricate plays and a lot of weird stuff going on in the midturns.
Found it took me a really long time to kind of wrap my head around this deck and learn how to play it, because I found like I always had so many options that it was more difficult to learn than a lot of the tempo stuff that has been a little bit more prevalent recently. It's just like, you can't just, you know, play your 4, then play your 5, then play your 6. Like, it doesn't work like that. So, you know, having to learn like what to hold, what to play when, all that kind of stuff it was actually quite complicated. And I found it really interesting when I first started playing this deck.
Are you saying
the mulligan phase is really intricate as well for this deck? Because there's, in certain matchups, there's certain cards that are really important and they cost 5.
Yeah.
Keep them, right? And that's something that's hard for people to get their head around. Like, normally you just throw everything back that doesn't cost 1 and 2, right? But no, in this deck, like, you might want to keep, you know, your cube. You know, I actually think Skull of the Minari is the card you just always keep. Like, that card is just insane. But yeah, you might want to keep some of these other cards. Like, it's, you know, and then figuring out when you can just play a Doomguard out of your hand Or like you must get it out some different way. I've
never actually done that.
Sometimes you have to. I mean, except I've had
like,
to do it
if I have
times.
Lethal, but like yeah. they never sit in my hand ever.
it's hard because like a lot of the other cards that you might be getting rid of are usually pretty powerful cards too. Yeah. So you're just, you know, you're thinking like, can I afford to maybe, you know, lose my Ghoul Dance? Like, I guess I have to go for it. So I don't know. It's yeah, there's a lot to think about on each turn with this deck, and to me that's what makes a deck fun. Eventually this deck will kind of get solved though, I think, in people's minds. Like there will be one way to like play this deck properly, right? And but right now we're still kind of at the point where people are still not even sure what the final list looks like. So
right.
There's a long way to go, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting, like, I'm just glad that there's like, I get it, cheating stuff out, that's not a new thing. But this is like an interesting way to do it, and with a lot of risk associated with it, right? There's like risk reward to this deck. Now that to me is really interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would call this anything but boring. I certainly felt bad losing to it, but I didn't think it was boring. I want to play it. This is the first time since, I think, Control Warrior started getting up and going back in like GVG that I'm like, oh my God, I need a lot more dust. I really do. Because I haven't really been playing Warlock this expansion so far, outside of Zoo, which is cheap, real cheap. So
So this has Prince Taldarim, it has Spirit Singer Umbra, it has Skull of the Minari, and it has Gul'dan, right? So you've got four legendaries
and two void boards,
not
which
crazy.
Is,
I mean, if you think about, the priest deck has like seven, something like
right.
that.
Yeah, but there's also eight epics if you don't have them already.
Yeah, going to be my next point. Is it's not even so much the legendaries, because like you said, Dills, you can swap out the Spirit Singer Umbra for a Silence instead. So there is a way to make it cheaper there. But yeah, the cube, the void lords, and I guess you could maybe go without the giants, but
the
void
faceless
lords
manipulators
and the
are epics, but most people probably have those at this point. And I think the mountain giants are actually core to the deck now.
Yeah.
I don't think you play the deck without double mountain giant anymore. It's so friggin' good. Like a lot of the times when I would lose in the mirror is because they played both their mountain giants and I couldn't kill them. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, it's rough. The big thing for me, I'm missing the Void Lords, which it's like, it's not a question of like, I'm not sure this is going to stick around. I know the Void Lord's a good card and it's going to stick around. I'm out of dust and I'm playing Priest. I'm playing Zulok. I'm playing Hunter. I'm playing Rogue. I'm out. I'm out right now. I'm not spending any
Void
more
Lords
money.
Are going to be around for a long time for sure. Yeah. This card is just way too powerful in combination with the Possessed Lackey.
Yeah. Yep, but
obviously, like, yeah, the fact that it's a demon, so you can, I mean, just you bring it out for free, and then you bring it back. That's insane. One thing I will say, you got to be a little careful.
Wild with Mel'Ganis, and then your opponent just cries.
Yeah, you got to be a little careful though, because the Void Lords, you know, the Void Walkers are also demons, and so I had a few games where I ended up making too many Void Lords and then too many Void Walkers, and when I Gul'dan, I got back seven Void Walkers. I was like, oh man.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So
because
that will happen.
So what Gul'dan brings back is always a random assortment of demons that have died, right? It's not like the first demons to die or the first ones brought back. So you can't play around what Gul'dan might or might not bring back. So too many Void Walkers could be bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can cube your Doomguard over your Void Lord, I think that's actually better. Like getting tons of Doom Guards is just insane.
Yeah. I think at one point in one of the games against Garrett today, I think I played like four, I want to say, Doom Guards, and I still had one in my deck. And I still had a lackey that I could play. Like the sheer number of Doom Guards with no drawback, right? Because normally they're supposed to have this like discard two cards.
Yeah,
drawback.
Discard cards.
Yeah. So you know, to have four Doom Guards and not discard any cards is disgusting.
And a little chat bubble popped up in the bottom of my screen and it goes, you want to know something fun? I still have one left in my deck.
So yeah, like the ultimate combo is get a Doom Guard on the board with the weapon, right?
Right.
And then hit face with it. Then cube that that Doomguard, and then Faceless Manipulator that cube, or cube that cube, right?
Right.
Cube the cube. It's
disgusting. Yeah. Cube in the cube. If you can cube, yeah. If you can cube squared, cube cubed, then yeah, you just win.
Nice. Very nice. Well, if you haven't tried it yet and you actually have all the cards to make this deck, go try it. It's good. It's good. Well, let's move. Let's keep on trucking and take our first crazy game story of the new year.
Because the whole world got crazy.
You're in trouble now.
You got it.
You can send your crazy game stories to TACpodcast@gmail.com. Jocelyn, who's kicking the year off?
This one comes to us from Gainsdolf the Way.
Yes!
Gainsdolf has written into the Nexus a few times, and I have already commented on how he has one of the best names on the internet.
He says, "What up, mother cluckers? My best deck this month has been Tempo Priest, the one that plays all minions except for two mind controls and two free from ambers to take advantage of Spiteful Summoner. Usually it's a bad thing if you draw all those spells early, but cue Fresh Prince music. Here is a story all about how I flipped that concept upside down." End music.
I love you, man. I do.
I'm at rank 4 up against a Q block, and the game is going normally with me dropping threats and the Warlock clearing them while collecting the combo. I've drawn all four spells in my deck already, typically not great, but against a control deck, it can be useful from hand. Turn 7 rolls around, and I drop the Draconoid Operative, stealing the Warlock's Carnivorous Cube with the intent to mind control a Void Lord in a few turns and cube it. The Warlock meets my threat by dropping a Mountain Giant. On turn 8, I play Free from Amber, and there is Blood of the Ancient One, front and center. A plan begins to emerge as I maniacally chuckle in my cubicle with a Carnivorous Cube in hand. With only 8 damage on the board, the Warlock would need damage from hand to actually take out the 9 health Blood of the Ancient One. Hoping I get to pull this off on ladder, I go for it and select Blood of the Ancient One. The Warlock proceeds to copy the Mountain Giant with a Faceless Manipulator and trades the original into my operative, taking the Giant to 3 health. The Blood of the Ancient One survived! Turn 9, I trade Blood of the Ancient One into his full health Mountain Giant, cube the 1 health Blood of the Ancient One, and take the other giant out with a Duskbreaker, damaging my cube in the process. I also drop a free Corridor Creeper for good measure. The Warlock thinks it has a chance and drops a Void Lord, but I've got 2 mind controls in hand going into turn 10. I trade the damaged cube into the Void Lord, summoning double Blood of the Ancient One, then mind control the Void Lord. The Warlock's board is empty and the Ancient One has been awakened. The Warlock drops another Void Lord, but it's game over. I play the second mind control and take the Ancient One to the face. Legit Ancient One win on ladder. Feels good, man. Unless you're the Warlock.
I like to think, this probably isn't the case, but I like to think that the Warlock was not bummed, but impressed. Because I was certainly impressed.
Like, that's one of those things where if it happens, you just got to go, all right. You managed to summon the Ancient One? Well, GG, man. GG.
I don't think the Ancient One was the key here. I think double mind control apparently is in your deck. And if you're facing off against Q-Block and you mind control 2 of their Void Lords, yeah, you win.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dills. It was clearly the Ancient One. It's clearly the Ancient One. You're going to lose in Hearthstone. Would you rather lose to, Hunter Hero Power? Or would you rather lose to the Ancient One?
I know my choice. Ancient One every single time.
Yep. Every time. Well, before we wrap this up with some emails, let's thank our patrons who are supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. If you're out there, if you're listening or checking on the regular, if you get something from the show and you want to give something in return, the Patreon is the best way to do that. There's many of you over there that we like to call our bosses. Pretty awesome bosses, too. I've had some lousy bosses in my time that are supporting us. So thank you very much. On this episode, we want to thank Joshua B., Jeremy G., Luke J., Matthew, no last name given, and Kyle N. Thank you all very much for supporting the show. Now let's wrap this up with some emails.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
Send your email, same place, tackpodcast@gmail.com. Dan C. kicks it off this week and says, howdy, domestic fowls that are having strong feelings of or showing annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Whew. Really, really went for it on that one. Every time I get on Reddit recently, it seems that people are complaining about the price of the game. While the price has increased, I was okay with it due to the fact that the game got better and the number of cards per rotation grew and allowed us to have a more diverse meta. I would just roll my eyes at those posts. However, as we continued through the year, I realized what many others did. The game is just a bit too expensive if you want to explore all the fun decks out there. I keep seeing the same solutions, giving us more rewards to earn, making packs not give duplicate epics, more dust per pack, etc. And I agree with some of those, but I thought of something I haven't seen. What if there was something similar to Xbox Gold or PS Plus? PlayStation Plus. PS Plus sounds stupid. Or even the equivalent of season passes for other video games. For a monthly or quarterly or yearly fee, you could get extra rewards. More dust and packs. 2 packs per tavern brawl. Dungeon run rewards. Discounted arena runs. The list goes on. Or perhaps for a discounted fee at the beginning of a rotation, you could pre-order all 3 expansions for the year with some other bonuses. Obviously, the price point would have to be right. But would this be something you would do? It obviously wouldn't help new players, but I think it would be great for the Hearthstone hardcores. Yes, I would.
Absolutely. Subscription service for Hearthstone? Some sort of a season's pass? Yeah.
Where do I sign?
I have seen this suggestion before. I think even in our subreddit, somebody suggested a
might
subscription
have been the same
model.
Guy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the people, their response was, I don't think you could do it for a game like Hearthstone, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think you couldn't do it for a game like Hearthstone. It's like, it would have to be modeled probably a little differently than what you're used to seeing with a season pass. But, you know, another thing you could do, too, is similar to what they do in like games like Heroes of the Storm, where you can essentially buy a thing that makes it so that playing, you get more rewards while you're playing.
Right? Stim pack, right?
Yeah, stim pack, exactly. Like, and that would be a pretty similar type of thing. So just, yeah, by playing, you're earning stuff faster. Mm-hmm. So I think there's many ways to kind of address this issue. And this is definitely not a bad way to go about it, for sure.
Well, back in the day, like, I want to say 2005-ish, there was a game that I played on Facebook when like Facebook games first came out. It was called Pack Rat, and it was basically like a card collecting game.
I am looking at you very skeptically right now, just so everybody
I know.
Knows.
I know. I feel like I shouldn't be admitting this, but it was a card collecting game, and they would come out with a new set of cards every, I want to say like maybe once a month. And so the idea, or no, wait, maybe it was more often than that. Anyways, it doesn't matter. The point is, you would have to buy different packs in their store, and there was ways to like earn currency and everything else. And the whole point of it was to create cards and collect everything, get a full set. And then you got like this little mouse guy that was dressed up in a different way. And it was your feet that you could show off to your friends on your Facebook profile. Anyways,
you're showing your feet to your friends on Facebook?
Not like your feet, like a feat of strength, like her. Anyways, they brought out a subscription fee because you could go and buy things for real money in their store, or you could use their in-game currency. It was basically the same as Hearthstone without an actual like game to play necessarily.
Well, at least you're admitting it.
My point is, they brought out a subscription thing, and I did the subscription thing for a very short amount of time. And the thing that I always found the most frustrating is that the amount of money I was paying every month, and I think it was like $15 or something like that, wasn't enough to get the whole collection and play the whole game. And that always felt really bad. So the whole point of this story and my embarrassing things I used to do on Facebook is to tell you guys that if they did do something that was like a subscription or Xbox Gold or whatever, people are still going to feel bad if they can't play every deck that they want to play. So it would have to be
really
an
good point to bring
extremely
up is,
high amount of money.
Yeah, like imagine if you bought World of Warcraft.
To unlock everything.
Yeah, imagine if you paid for World of Warcraft $15 a month, and they were like, all right, but you still got to earn like all this other stuff.
And earn your way into PvP or something. What? Or like, yeah.
Like, but I'm paying you the thing. So yeah. Yeah, there's always going to be like issues like that with mm-hmm. things like this. So the just buying packs might just be the best possible way to really do this. But I think it's literally just, we need to up the reward for playing the game. To be
I like
honest,
skin like, packs. I think that's I like
the biggest
that.
Thing.
Like if I have a stim pack that then I earn like double gold on my quests and double gold on my, you know, wins and stuff like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Of course, then you'd have to buy a stim pack.
A lot of issues for sure. But yeah, it's like people are just, they want to play the game. And they want to feel like they're getting stuff for that. Right.
Yeah.
And an amount that feels good. And right now it's like, yeah, you get your 10 gold for every 3 wins. And you're just like, damn, that's just so slow. Right. Yeah. And then you get your one quest a day. Yeah, it feels really slow.
Well, Dills, I mean, it's faster than dungeon runs. I'm just messing with you at this point, but yeah.
It is, yeah.
It's faster than going nowhere.
But dungeon runs, like, that is just, yeah, that is just terrible. It actually physically makes me angry. The dungeon runs give you zero right now. Like, I understand, they're fun. I get that. That argument doesn't, you know, but it doesn't do anything for me. It's just, like, every time I get done, I'm like, I'm never playing this again. The fact that I'm playing it again just means like that I'm a weird completionist and need that card back, right?
You might want to talk to someone about that, Dills. You may have just made a breakthrough.
Yeah, I'm talking to you guys about it.
Yeah, we are his therapy.
That's just my opinion on the situation. It's like, this is a fun thing, but the fact that you give me a zero for it is the only thing making it unfun. Crazy.
Justin, I think calling us his therapist is putting it wrong. I think the word you're looking for is enabler. I think that's the role we are fulfilling in this scenario. But anyways, yeah, this is something I would totally get into. I agree with all your counterpoints, both of you. And I don't think we'll see it anytime soon. But if it ever does happen, I'll be there with bells on. Dills, who's our second email today from?
So George says, hi, Tack. I'm relatively new to Hearthstone. I've only been playing consistently since Un'Goro, but it seems to me that all of you have been playing since day one. That is true. That said, I assume you have seen all the different types of decks come and go over the years, with certain decks reigning supreme before being nerfed or rotated out. My question is, in your opinion, what was the most OP powerful deck in Hearthstone history? Further, has there been a slow drift that cards and decks have become more powerful than the classic set? Love the podcast. Keep up the fantastic work. Yeah, it's definitely gotten more powerful over time, for sure. I think about like
we
the
just
most
talked
powerful
about
deck
cheating out 9 mana cards for free.
I think about some of the OP cards that we've gone through and stuff like that, and you know, I even think like Muster for Battle. It's like, yeah, that wasn't even that strong in like today's world, right? I mean, it's not a bad card, but it's not some insane thing. I think probably Undertaker Hunter was definitely the most powerful deck in its heyday.
In its time, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even if that exact list existed today, it might not actually be that powerful today.
Yeah.
Like compared to what we're seeing today. It's just that compared to the other stuff that was out there at the time, I think that deck was the most ridiculous. Because if you think so, if George here is new, we'll explain what Undertaker was. It was a 1 mana 1/2, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then every time you played a Death Rattle minion, it grew +1/+1.
Yep.
And sometimes you would play two of them on turn one, and then on turn two, you'd play like a Loot Hoarder or something, and then you'd have 2/2/3s, and then on turn three, you'd play, you know, the friggin' Harvest Golem, and then you'd have couple 3/4s and you just keep going. Every turn would be another Death Rattle minion, and
it was disgusting.
Just get out of hand real quick.
Yeah. Yep. That was kind of my thought. Like, this is a kind of a difficult question to answer, because it's like I have to we can't do it in practice. We can't actually test this, because a lot of the decks that pop into my mind have been nerfed. My like the first thing that popped in my head was Patron Warrior. That we just can't play that the way it used to. You cannot play Undertaker Hunter the way you used to.
Yeah. Patron War was very powerful, but the thing about Undertaker Hunter was that the game felt like it was over on turn one, right?
Right.
Yes.
And Patron Warrior was like, yeah, like all this
at
stuff would be happening. You'd be like,
oh
God, I got to kill them quick because it's all going to go crazy in a second. And it would go crazy.
I also think of a beta rogue, just beta broken ass.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you know, actually. Rogue was insane. Yeah. 1 mana Shiv. the hero power turned into a 2-attack dagger if you did it again. Backstab could hit any minion, damaged or not. Like, every card they had was insane.
It was just ridiculously powerful.
Yeah, their hero power was busted. You would just you know, coin Defias. What was it, Ringleader?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh right. Yeah.
This is our town, Scrub.
Coin Scrub. 2-1 instead of a 2-2 and a 2-1.
I think we almost named the show Coin Scrub because of that deck. I'm pretty sure Dills suggested it when we were trying to name this podcast because you would just coin.
That was one of the strongest memes out there at the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean that might have been, because I do remember too, I thought I was like really good at Arena because I got 9 wins 3 times in a row, but I played Rogue each time. Rogue was just so disgustingly busted.
Yep.
But it was just, I got to pick Rogue? Sweet. I guess I get 9 wins.
Remember
again.
The beta ladder, too, was more like it just had, you know, bronze through diamond.
Master?
Or master.
Grandmaster was the highest.
Yeah. And,
like, and then once you got there, you were just there?
Right. I got there in no time flat, just maining Rogue. Just, you know, coin, this is our town, Scrub. Oh, I win. Cool. Coin, this is our town, Scrub. Oh, and I'm master. So it was, that was pretty busted.
I think even me, who had never played a card game before, made it to like gold or something. Like, it was ridiculous.
you didn't really lose ranks. That's the thing. It's like, as long as you just played a lot, you keep going up. I'm trying to think of like what the other possible answers to this question are. Like, maybe Freeze Mage for a little while at its
Secret Paladin.
At its, like, height when there was Ice Lance and stuff was another one that was pretty impressive. Combo Druid, when you could force a Nature Savage Roar.
That was basically any Druid deck, though. It's like, that's how you started building your Druid deck, right? It was just Force of Nature, Savage Roar. Okay, what else do I put in here?
Well, it was Druid was basically just like, okay, just keep putting threats down and just hit face, because eventually I will get you low enough that the combo will
combo. Yeah. Which, now that you think about it, it was, what, 14 damage? Seems like nothing.
For
like,
9 mana, it's not even that cheap.
You can do 14 damage in one turn. Oh, darn. So that kind of brings up the idea of unnerfing. Do you think that there are things that should be changed back to their original now that we have a lot more cards in the game to deal with power levels like that?
Mountain Giant. I'd like to see Mountain Giant reverted.
Mountain Giant? You mean Molten Giant?
Oh, sorry, Molten Giant.
The health one?
Yeah. Molten Giant, yeah. Because at 25, it's just unusable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Everything else is fine. I don't really.
Buzzard Unleash?
Nah. Buzzard, though, I think they could make it like 4 mana card, because then it would be kind of like Cult Master, right?
Yeah.
But at 5 mana, it's just dumb.
Yep.
There's no reason to ever play that card. I kind of do like the Force of Nature not being charge minions, but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, there's other things. Like, at this point, they could probably make Ancient of Lore what it used to be, because now there's so many other ways to just draw tons of cards in Druid. Like, it doesn't really matter. I guess people would all play it again, but there's a lot of cards that they'd be fine now, but probably just Molten to me is like the one where I'm like, that one, because right now it's like, it's the problem with that card they said was that it was too easy to like flip the board, but I'm like, there's so many other ways to flip the board now that don't involve you getting down to 10 health, right?
Yeah.
And if you're getting a 10 health in today's modern world, you're probably going to die anyway, whether you get a bunch of Moltons out or not. But
I agree.
Oh, Scotty brings up an interesting point. Yeah, if it just said based on the total damage taken, so it does, it doesn't matter like
what your current health total is.
It just matters that you've taken that much damage. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that would be great. Because then you wouldn't be afraid to heal up again.
Yeah, because it would actually be a strategy to take damage and heal it, right? Which is what warlocks are very good at.
Very, very true.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we had an answer. Beta Rogue.
all of the things were powerful in their time.
Yeah. That's really, I mean, it's if you were to put them all up against each other, I don't know which one would win, because they're all just relative, right? It's kind of, it's like trying to compare like old sports teams to a modern sports team. It's like, well, we don't really know. Like, all you know is that
equipment
they were just
changes and
they were badass compared to everybody else who was playing in the league at that time. Like, but no one ever actually knows which one would win, right? So
I would lean towards whatever is currently good is probably better than what used to be good.
probably. Yeah.
That's where I lean. But I really just wanted to talk about Beta Rogue because that has, we haven't talked about coining out a Defias Ringleader in pretty much since like episode 2.
It's still a really good play in Arena, by the way. A 2-2 and a 2-1 on turn one is still pretty sweet.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. But let's bring it home. Joss, who is our final email from?
Final email comes to us from Shogun Nick. Says, hey guys, it just cannot be left like that. Joss saying that for HOTS, playing professional is the same as playing Hero League, against how it is so much different in Hearthstone between tournaments and ladders, really not true.
Yes,
for
it is.
For HOTS, playing competitively is absolutely different than Hero League or even Team League, no matter what rank we're talking about. Competitive has much more focused drafts, better targeting, precise communication, shot calling, and strategy. There's a reason why teams play against each other to prepare instead of playing Team League. That is just not a similar experience. You can train personal skills playing Hero League, but the same could be said for Hearthstone, where you can train playing a deck on ladder, but it's not the same as competitive for both of these games. I believe a better example would be StarCraft, if we wanted to give one. Not ranting, not faulting, just correcting, because I play both games and care deeply about both and don't want people to misunderstand them. So
I disagree entirely.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say. And maybe I wasn't the fact that you felt that you needed to send in a correction. Maybe I didn't articulate my point well enough in the last episode. But basically, there is like they're two completely different experiences in Hearthstone. Like, I literally can't play a best of anything in the Hearthstone game. I have to go out of my way outside the game to organize a tournament or play with friends or whatever in order to get the Hearthstone Championship Tour experience. Heroes, I can go into Hero League or Team League or whatever, and I'm still getting that exact same gameplay, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, if anything,
like there's a draft,
if I were to like attach an asterisk to your comments from last episode, it would not be any of this. It would be that, okay, well, it's still not a best of with like map bans and stuff like that.
Right.
That is omitted, but the draft happens as close as it can to it the way it does in the esport, in the game itself. Obviously it's kind of up to whoever has the highest MMR that's banning and stuff like that, and you're not all going to be on the same page. And I mean, everything that Shogun says here is true, but it's not relevant to the discussion we were having. The point,
right?
The point you were trying to make was that there's nothing at all in Hearthstone right now that comes remotely close in any way, shape, or form, which I know I say any way, shape, or form a lot in the show, but it is damn true in this scenario, to Hearthstone esports. And the bigger point was, again, going all the way back to when we had Daniel Negreanu on, which is, why do we get points that affect Hearthstone esports from playing Hearthstone Ladder when Hearthstone Ladder does not prepare you for Hearthstone esports at all?
Right.
Yeah. Which,
as far as I understand, Hero League and Team League, that's not how, like HGC, which is the Heroes Championship, that's not how you qualify, right? Like, being the best team in Team League doesn't put you into the, like, HGC.
I don't think it gets you anything, does it?
I don't think it gets you anything, right? Like,
nothing at all.
Yeah, it's just like your own ladder for your own whatever.
Personal whatever.
You have to play in tournaments.
Exactly. So there is no through line from Hero League and Team League and Heroes of the Storm to their grand yearly annual championship, right? Which is not true for Hearthstone. In Hearthstone, you play ladder and then get thrown into a tournament, and that's your way in, and it's not the same experience.
Correct.
So the other thing, though, I do want to point out to Shogunik here is that the top Hearthstone pros don't just hit the ladder up and prepare for tournaments. They do exactly what you just described the HOTS players are doing. They scrim each other, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they get together with teammates and they play out certain matchups over and over and over again, because the matchups you see on the ladder don't necessarily translate at all to the matchups you get in a tournament scenario. And also, the gameplay is not necessarily going to be like on ladder. You're playing any random deck that the guy decided to bring to the ladder that day. You need to be playing against specific matchups and specific lists that you are expecting to see, and understand like how to, you know, track the 30 cards in the deck and things like that. So even the point that he makes in this email is like wrong. It's like, no, that's not even how Hearthstone pros prepare for tournaments.
Well, I think that's a little unfair. I don't think Shogunik is refuting that he just isn't mentioning it, but that's kind of what we last week you weren't.
Well, no, he's yeah. I mean, he's straight up says you can train for personal skills by just playing the ladder, and it's not necessarily.
Okay, I guess yeah. I glazed over. Yeah, that's just wrong.
Like you could, yeah, you could do technical Hearthstone skills like okay, I played this in this order and practice things like that. Yeah, you can just, but that's the same thing you can do in Heroes where it's like I just need to practice like hitting skill shots, right? That's the same as like just playing on ladder over and over. That's the kind of stuff you're practicing.
Yeah,
you're practicing mechanical skills, not necessarily like matchups and kind of like overall strategy stuff. That's all done between teammates on these Hearthstone teams, right? They all have like practice partners and they play, you know, 50 times with a specific matchup to the point where they understand exactly how they should be mulliganing and playing like out through the mid game and the beginning game and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, yeah, I don't know. Again, there, I would defend Shogunek a little bit there. Cause I mean, if you don't have access to that, if you don't have access to a group of other players of a high caliber to train against, you can just log a bunch of ladder games and eventually you will probably log enough matchups of the matchup that you were hoping to get. It's just that there's a lot of unhelpful matchups in there.
But you're also not doing that. Okay, there's a reason why a lot of the Hearthstone pros tend to get to the top of like DreamHack Open tournaments.
I'm not reviewing.
They're the
that.
Ones properly prepping. Like all the people who show up, yeah, that all they have access to is like playing on the ladder, right? And it tends to show in results, right? Like
right.
It is like kind of proven now through that this is the effective way to practice. Similar right. to what his argument is that, you know, the competitive scene is completely different than the ladder. It is in a lot of ways very similar in Hearthstone. The competitive scene is completely different than the ladder. And in fact, even more different.
Right.
Because so like the, you said,
like, well, yeah,
you really
so
can't
like,
even play anything close to it. Yeah.
Right. So like basically my point was saying that in Heroes, at least you get to play the same game that you play when you go to HGC, right? Which
right.
is not really the same as. Yeah. Like the ladder is not the same as Hearthstone tournaments where like I would say, especially if you've got your whole team of five playing Team League, then that's still a fairly close experience, right? Like you still have your five teammates probably on voice comms. You're doing a draft. Like Garrett said, like you don't have map bans, but outside of the map bans, like it's still the same game. You still have like your team making bans, picking, you know, doing the back and forth and everything else. You're playing the same game. There is no through line. There is no tournament experience. There's no nothing. And that's how you get to that big tournament is by doing these one-off games on ladder, which is just, that was my point is that, you know, for Heroes, at least there's a through line. Like Hearthstone, it's these two disjointed experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. And again, I don't think like he's not wrong that the skill of the players playing Hero League does not equal your teammate's skill in your own in esports does not equal your teammates in Hero League regardless of rank. That is correct. It's just that, and now I'm going to get like a little podcast meta. It's just like that was just not a relevant point for the discussion we were having. Like we weren't refuting
about,
that
like,
that was the case.
Coded game, the game is the same.
Right. We were focusing on format. I mean, and that is true of every professional game ever. That doesn't need to be pointed out, in my opinion. And if I had gone, oh, excuse me, Josh, everyone on those esports teams are just better than anyone we're going to play with, including us. I could have done that and saved Shogunek this email, but it would have just stopped our conversation dead in the tracks for what doesn't help with the conversation that I think that we were having.
Right.
So that's just like my meta podcast conversation, which is like, I even make the joke sometimes on the show, like if I could be the human YouTube comment for a second, and that's what it is. It's this like, but, and it's like, yes, that's, you're right. But it's also not the most important point in this conversation. So I don't know. It's all storytelling at the end of the day. Some things are going to get left out. But I'm with you, Joss. Playing a game of Hero League in Heroes way closer to what I'm watching on Twitch than, anything in Hearthstone. God, I really want a best of anything in this game. Hey, you guys,
we are not going down the tournament mode rabbit hole.
Did you guys notice that we didn't do a Letters to Santa Bro this year? You know why? Because it would have been us talking about tournament mode again. It didn't bother. And it's a new year, and we're not going to talk about what we want most this year because Team 5 knows the answer.
Apparently I've been extraordinarily naughty because Santa Bro is not listening to me.
It's not just you, Jocelyn. You know what the number one conversation every time I go to a fireside is?
Where's tournament mode?
Pretty much. And maybe, hey, observer mode's still pretty bad.
Yeah.
That too. Like, those are the two gleaming things we would love. But we would love switched, even while our fireside gathering mechanics are not working correctly. We're just like, hey, where's that tournament mode? Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is busted too. But where's that thing that doesn't even exist yet? We'd really like that.
I will say this though: what we did get this year was we got the friendly game reconnect thing. So that's pretty important. If nothing else, got to commend them for that one, because that makes a huge difference when it comes to playing these online tournaments, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what else we got was the best year of a Hearthstone meta ever.
Yeah, exactly. We got like the sweetest cards and like, yeah, just, I don't know, definitely kind of like the best Hearthstone year, I think, ever. But yeah, it's like, we're still missing a couple things.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
Card rich, feature poor.
Fair. Fair. Anyway, send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. That's going to wrap it up for the first episode of the year. Of course, we had to talk about tournament mode for half of a second. So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you again to our badass patrons for supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. If you dig the show, if you like it, and you're not a patron, or you're not going to be a patron, drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. That also helps Anger Chicken out quite a bit. Got to thank our producers, Declan H., Michael N., Sean C., Johnny S., and LVE. Thank you so much for your generous, generous support of the Angry Chicken. And yeah, there's plenty of back catalog of episodes. If you want to be insane, you can find all of them either on Amove TV or the YouTube. Follow us on Twitter @TACPodcast, and you can catch us live Tuesdays. We've been doing 3 p.m. Eastern. We might go back to 4 p.m. Eastern. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it'll be on twitch.tv/AMoveTV. But around the table, before we leave, Dills, where can people find you outside of TAC?
Check me out on twitch.tv/WillyDills. I'm on Twitter @WillyDills, and do the 1-900 podcast with Justin on Mondays, and he is currently in Japan right now, checking out Wrestle Kingdom. So there won't be a show probably until.
Is that actually?
I don't know when he gets back, but I'm guessing next week. So yeah, come get at us then. But until then, lots and lots of Hearthstone will be played on my channel.
So I was talking about King Apple. Is there like a King Wrestler?
Like a king wrestler?
Is there a castle at Wrestle Kingdom with a king?
No, it's just what they call, like, I mean, is there a mania? Is there a maniac at WrestleMania?
Yes, I would argue yes, many of them. There are many maniacs. Yeah,
it's really just what they call it.
At WrestleMania. Bad counter question, Dills, because the answer is yes.
But it's going to be amazing this year. Anybody who likes wrestling out there, Wrestle Kingdom is going to be insane. So I hope you guys, you're out there. Like, I would highly recommend watching it live.
It's not a place. It's like, because I was totally picturing like some crazy wrestling theme park. Is that not what Wrestle Kingdom is?
No, it's literally just Japan's version of WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. I like your idea so much better though, Jocelyn. Like, you just go and like ride the foreign language broadcast table where we throw you through a table.
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be so good. That'd be so fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what else is fantastic. All of the content that Jocelyn is creating outside of the Angry Chicken. Where can folks find that, Joss?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm @JossPlays. And I believe we are back on track for PvP Thursdays, right, Dills?
Oh, yeah.
Pew, 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 PvP. So, yeah, twitch.tv/JossPlays and twitch.tv/WillyDills on Thursdays, where we are doing super fun arena things. And I'm attempting to learn to be an arena healer. It's real hard, you guys. It's real hard.
Super hard.
You're
doing great.
I almost just like made fun of like, oh, missed opportunity. You picked the wrong day. It should have been a day that starts with P. And then I realized there's no day that starts with P and I'm an idiot. PV poos days.
That doesn't sound fun.
I mean, if you're just learning how to play a role, maybe it's an accurate.
Tuesdays are for tacos. Thursdays are for PvP. Okay.
All right. Fine. Fine. Folks, I'm on Twitter @GarrettArt, 2 R's, 2 T's, and Garrett, I trust you know how to spell art. Speaking of which, you can go to nomoonart.com for my graphic design portfolio. If you need a graphic designer, there is a contact form right on there. It goes right to my inbox.
right in there. And that's about it. All the other podcasts I do can be found at amove.tv. Jocelyn and I will be getting back on the Embrace the Spoilers train later this month. So go check that out. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you all so much for returning to the Angry Chicken for the fresh, cracked year of 2018. We'll see you next week for episode 244. Good luck. Have fun. Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Yes! Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.